Well, hello everyone. Glad that that you're able to make it here for our session on the International Alert Academy and the programs that we have to offer to walk alongside with you and your families as you pursue excellence in your children's lives and pursue the will of God in their lives. My name is Randy Zachary. I am from Big Sandy, Texas. At least right now, it's currently where we're living with the ministry. Big Sandy is about 20 miles north of Tyler, about 20 miles west of Longview, kind of halfway between Shreveport, Louisiana, and Dallas, Texas there. And that's where our ministry is located. Back in the year 2000, God blessed us with a 2,250-acre campus that we do all of the training there at that facility. And so all the programs that you're going to hear about today are located there, with the exception of one, which Major Smith's going to be talking about. It's a home-based program. But the Alert Academy began from the vision of a homeschool dad back in 1994, where he had the opportunity to be flat on his back for a few months. The Lord saw to that. And he was reading about the end times, and he said, Lord, with all these disasters that are going to be coming through in the future, in the end times, wouldn't it be great if there was this army of young Christian men that could be equipped and skilled and ready to go out and to be able to serve others and meet their needs and be able to share Christ with them through this service? And the Lord said, absolutely, that would be neat, and you're going to start it. And so so thus began the Alert Academy with the Alert program. ALERT stands for Air Land Emergency Resource Team. It is our flagship program, and I'll be speaking more about that and some other programs before. But I just want to say that this is a rather opportune time to be speaking about the ALERT program and the other ministries, the other programs that we have here, because the theme of the conference here is Engaging the Battle in Texas, and also the Master's Plan for Fatherhood. And the ALERT Cadet program is certainly walking out the fatherhood being involved in the son's life. Everybody knows what Kevin Swanson talked about here a couple of hours ago there in his session about Malachi, father's hearts turning towards home. This is a theme that has been stressed in the homeschooling communities year after year for quite some time. Everybody knows that Scripture says that you know, that fathers are to teach their children. These are things, that, concepts that we're not totally unfamiliar with. But our programs support what the dads are called to do according to Scripture, and we had designed our programs to help mom and dad to be able to fulfill their scriptural responsibilities. So with that in mind, I'd like to go ahead and turn over the floor to Major Michael Smith. He is a Southwest Regional Coordinator for the ALERT Cadet Program, which is just one program under the umbrella of the International ALERT Academy. It can be confusing, I understand. But I'd like to go ahead and introduce Major Smith and let him tell you about this program.
Thank you, Michael. Randy. Randy's also a major in the ALERT program. Welcome, and it's good to address you guys this afternoon. The end of the conference, and I hope you have a lot of energy left. This is a, let me just say right off the bat that the ALERT Cadet program is a father-son program. It really focuses on building relationships between the father and the son, and works towards that. The son, age 8 to 17. It's founded off of that great Italian prophet Malachi. Some of you have heard of him. Very last prophet of the Old Testament. Nobody chuckled. I hope that nobody thought I was serious. Malachi, okay. Turning the hearts that when the Messiah would come, thank you very much, when the Messiah would come, he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children's hearts to the fathers. Well, that is the focus of this ministry. It is not a drop your son off program. If you're busy, and there are times, for instance, you know, one of the fathers in our unit, excuse me, is a missionary and travels the world with Jesus Film Ministry. So there are times he's out. So when his son's out, I mean, when he's gone, he'll coordinate and he'll assign a son to me and we'll be responsible for him. So he'll come. But it is not a drop your children off program and the father's not involved. When we go into the activities, whether it's father-son camp, obviously those are activities that the sons, fathers participate with. The PT tests, those sort of things. PT is physical training. The fathers are engaged. In fact, at the booth over here, you can see a PT test. And you'll see the sons doing it, and you'll see the fathers doing it too. And it's okay, because we're all working together and work together towards that. So this is a program that is distinctly designed around father-son relationship. It is also a dynamic structure. It's a dynamic structure in the sense that if you have one or two or three families that can gather together that are interested in doing this, one or two families, when you're over there on the western border of New Mexico near the Gila Wilderness and kind of in that area, and you're looking around, just is there anybody else around here? Oh, there's another family. We'll go see. You can connect together in one, two, three type units, families. So we designed it to be a dynamic structure that can flow and change and so on and be able to do that. And sometimes you're the only family because you're living way out where maybe there's other. So that's called the Delta Force. It would be a New Mexico Third Delta, you know. And that would be an opportunity to then the headquarters will work with you to try to keep that going. But it's important to connect up with doing other activities like that. So it's a dynamic structure that enables you to function and do this in your home and work together and work through the advancements. We'll walk through some of the program here in just a minute to understand more how this program functions. But I wanted to lay out first that it is a father-son activity. It's dynamic in this event in the structure. It's adaptive so that it can function. You can work together and we'll help you build that if you're in a remote area or connect you with other units that exist in your area. In this particular area, Captain David Featherston, right here, right there in the middle, he lives in the Austin area, is the captain over the Austin, San Antonio, and I guess that would also include Kerrville. This hill country area of the Texas area. So if you're interested, connect with him. The website here is a great place to go to, and it also has places where you can connect, go into and connect and say, hey, I'd like to know if there's a unit near me. And there's a feature in there to try to connect up with that. The program the P3. And this is kind of shows the passage, the three ways that the program's developed. Obviously, the flag that waves over this is still that Italian prophet, Malachi, okay, 4:6. And that's the flag part of our flagship. But the program can be looked at it this way. In the preparation phase, you're preparing your young men, 8 to 12 years old, for manhood. Okay, you're preparing them, talking with them, working through the program to help them understand what does it mean to be a man. And then as you move into that passage, all cultures have rites of passage. Every culture has some level of rite of passage. Some of you may have read Raising a Modern Day Knight. talks about that level of transition from boyhood to manhood. It doesn't happen with an event. It doesn't happen at a certain time. It is still a process through. And that process from 12 to 15 is sort of that passage time frame of moving from boyhood to manhood, setting aside when I was a child, I spoke as a child, and I reasoned as a child. Now I have entered into that manhood phase. And so what is it to call up your sons to manhood phase? So that's sort of the structure of the 12 to 15 passage, the period, and then we call that the passage period. Then the age from 15 to 17, that would be dealing with purpose, life purpose, vision, setting your vision, and we'll be talking about that in detail. But that's sort of the broad range from 8 to 17 of what the focus is on. But remember, the whole thing that gives this thing float, that keeps it afloat without sinking, is this right here. relationship. It is the Father-Son relationship. The Father's heart being turned to the Son, the Son's heart being turned to the Father, and working together. It is together. So that's the key thing. The P3s are based on Philippians 3. Now, one thing I do, setting aside all else, I'm going to pursue after that upward call in Christ Jesus. Okay? Pursuing after. So it is growing in Christ. And this is really a program that focuses. This is unashamedly, unabashedly founded on Scripture, on Christianity. It is, and you're going to see that as you advance. In order to be able to advance, there needs to be ownership of faith in the young man. Okay? So, one thing I do is I set aside all those other things I want to keep pressing on. So, our pastor last couple of weeks ago, the Lord just really struck him and he said, when did you stop pressing on? And man, that's a gripping thought. If the Lord would say, when did you stop pressing on? Okay? This is a program to challenge both the sons and the father. The father, let me do it the other way around. The father and the sons to press on. To press on. Not only just, this isn't just doing. This is not just scripture memory. This is relating, walking together, being real. I can guarantee you when we sit down together and talk at these father-son camps, these very tender, sensitive times of talking about real issues of young manhood as he's transitioning. And there are so many hormones that start flowing in young men through these periods, this age period. What a better time than as a father and a son sitting in the wilderness or sitting in a canoe or wherever, sitting and talking or by the campfire or in the tent, laying there, sitting there saying, you know, do you ever struggle with this? Is this a hardship? How do you deal with these things, life issues? And you talk together and work together. There is a natural design that God has designed for protection of our young men. The father, the family, gathering together. You know, I know that there are programs that have a bunch of sons gathered together, and when they'd go together, they'd the tent together, and the fathers really shouldn't be tenting with their sons because you don't want your son in a tent with other fathers and that sort of thing. You know, there's a natural, healthy, protective nature that is built into this program. The father is with the son. The father and the son are in the tent. And the other father and the son are in their tent. And that do you do things together like that? It just fits. It seems to follow easily under the protective covering that God has provided called a family. And the nurturing opportunities that gives us with our children. And in particular on this program with our sons. It's a designed structure like that. So it's a blessing. There are plenty of seats, and you will not interrupt me. You just come flowing in here. I don't want anybody to have to stand at the back. So, the preparation ideas, okay? We're talking about the three phases of growth from the young men, 8 to 12 years age, from preparation into the passage and into the purpose. The preparation stage, this is really focused on, if you'll remember the 2 Peter chapter 1, verse starts at verse 5. It says, for this reason, be very diligent to add to your, and then we start talking about faith, and we're going to build off of that in just a minute. So we want to add to the foundation of the faith. We want to work, the focus on this is strengthening that foundation, because all of our kids, if you're in this room, I guarantee you have a heart desire to walk out and live as a family the gospel. You want your children to know the Lord Jesus and the covering that he provides, the gospel of truth, the foundation that provides that unshakable foundation, that robe of righteousness that we cannot purchase. It has been purchased for us on the cross. Now, you want them to know that. Well, this is a key thing. This is the focus of, we want them to own it. Not to just, you know, they're going to obviously have to learn it. It is pattern. That's part of the pattern. Deuteronomy says, when you rise up, when you walk, when you lie down, when you go in and when you come out, or when you go out and you come in, you share your faith, you walk it. Well, this is part of the opportunity that this program structured, this ministry opportunity is structured around to give. So it is, it's passing the faith and helping build and inculcate and designed to have it be owned by the young man. You share and you live this relationship with Father God. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Now think about that. We want to tell our children, as Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." You might, first off, right off the bat, think, "Wait a minute, I want to tell my kids, you follow Christ, follow Christ." You know, well, the Scripture says, you fathers are put in their lives to give them a tangible, evident way of seeing what is it like to walk as a godly man. What is it like to be a godly man? You fathers are called to that. You are called up to that level. And the mothers too. The parents are called up to walk in a godly way. And the Scripture says, we instruct our children, follow me, follow me. Well, you know what that does? That calls me up that I better be walking in a way that's honoring, that's pointing to my Father. Be walking in that way. And so that's the call of us, is follow me as I follow Christ. This is a curriculum. It's built around curriculum. There's workbooks, and we work through those together as we walk through these workbooks. And the tools are designed to establish faith, and really primarily in these young years. Okay. Now, and then you have to lay out your goals. You want to set your goals, because this is not just stopping there. We're going to be stepping forward in some areas. So let's look at the ranks as we move in. The first thing, the young men will come in and they'll have they'll get a maroon bar, and that's a cadet, one bar on the sleeve. In fact, Nathan, I told you I wasn't going to have you stand up, but I'm going to have you stand up. Okay, it will be on your right sleeve. And so there'll be one bar there, and that would be a cadet, okay? And then the next step is the LTCs, once they become a leadership training. We're going to talk through each of these in just a moment. But you'll have the epaulettes. These little things are called epaulettes. There's maroon loops around the epaulettes. That's an LTC level, the leadership training corps. Okay, the focus of LTC is developing leadership. And we'll talk about that more in just a moment. The next rank would be cadet first class. Nathan is a cadet first class. You can see two maroon stripes on the sleeves. And then, and thank you. Thank you very much. The cadet specialist, and some of you may be familiar with the Eagle Scout project. If you're going to do something like that, you have to develop an Eagle Scout project. To become a cadet specialist, you'll have a project you'll have to work through. It's a fairly substantial project, and you'll work through it and publish that project, and then a cadet corporal. That's the highest rank for a young man in the cadet corporal. That's from 8 to 17. Once you age out of the program, which means on your 18th birthday, you are no longer going to be a cadet, but if you still would like to help minister to the young, you may have younger brothers or younger men in your area, then you may become a sergeant. And that just transfers from whatever rank you were when you turned 18, that transfers into the four levels of sergeants, okay? It would be if you are a cadet in the LTC, you become a cadet sergeant. A cadet first class becomes a cadet staff sergeant. A cadet specialist becomes a sergeant first class. And then the corporal becomes a cadet master sergeant, okay? And that would be the rank you then wear in helping the program and ministry. And now I guarantee you, there's a lot of ministry opportunity to do that. It might be that you'll be running helping run a father-son camp, and helping set up the ropes course, or whatever. Okay, a lot of that goes on in that. So what I'd like to do is kind of walk through these ranks. Because in doing that, you get a better picture of the program from start to finish. Yes, sir. Oh, yes. The time is moving, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. The cadet, the 8 to 12 year old. This is starts at the 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. Faith, virtue, knowledge. Those priorities in that order. Faith, virtue, knowledge. We're working on those three through the handbooks, and the focus is really to deal with the handbooks. Work through these handbooks. As you walk through that, you'll see here The energy of the young men, boy, I tell you what, when they get it, they get going, they've got all sorts of energy, and it's fun to do that. So, and I'm going to keep moving. The passage, I've already talked with you, that the passage then that goes from that preparation phase into the manhood phase, each culture will deal with that. And the focus here, I'd like to really draw your attention to the second bullet. The focus is dealing with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So you will have a written testimony, you walk through that. And then the ability to teach them not to give them fish, but to teach them to fish type concept. How do you hear the voice of Father? How do you walk in relationship with Father? His word will feed you and learn. How do you learn to feed through the Word of God? Okay? So that there's a lot of focus on as you move into LTC, being able to read and hear and understand and journal. You'll be journaling through the Word of God. Okay? That moves us into the leadership training corps. I've already pointed out that there are loop epaulettes, maroon epaulettes on the maroon loops on the epaulettes that they wear. This is an age of 12 to 14, and this period of time is would be focused towards 2 Peter 1:6 of moving into the self-control. You know, as a young man, David said in Psalm 119, how shall a young man, verse 9, how shall a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed to God's word. Okay? Why does he say, how can a man keep his way pure? He doesn't. He says a young man. Why? Because this is all these new hormones rushing around, all these new feelings, all these different changes in life. How can he keep his way pure? Okay, this is a focus on self-control during this time. Strength under control. Jesus is the example. And patience. Don't rush. You want to get in a hurry. I want to grow up. I'm tired of being 13, 14, 15, or whatever. We're going to walk the path because this is a relationship. So we're learning skills and knowledge during this period of time. And as we grow in this, we'll be more focused on maturity. And then the parents can use this as a rite of passage time, you know, a ceremony that says, I mark you. We are calling you up to be a man. At this point, we're going to treat you and speak to you as a man and walk with you as a man, as a man, and start dealing with it at that level. Moving on, then we move into the age 13 to 15. This would be associated with the cadet first class. These ages, by the way, are not rigorous. This is a range, because remember this, it is not anyone else but the father with the unit that determines, is the young man ready to move to that next phase? It's the father's responsibility to make that determination and to substantiate. Is he showing godliness? Is he working out 2 Peter 1:6? Is he living out his faith? Is he walking it out? Is he ready to step forward to be a CFC? I mentioned earlier there was a substantial project in a cadet's, that's cadet first class, that's what you are. Next one would be the next one. He needs to be able to lead a Bible study, he needs to be able to do that and share his faith and to have obvious fruits of godliness, know why he believes it, and this is key, begin to take ownership of it. It's his faith, mom and dad's faith is their, and walking in that. And of course, our intent and our heart is that they'd take ownership of it too, the same faith. And then age 14, 16, this would be the cadet specialist. There is a fairly substantial project, last bullet on there, and it should be structured around their life interest, focused, because remember, we're looking towards preparation for life. This would be the 14 to 16, and they're starting to gain some interest in their, what are they going to be doing in their for their life call. What is God calling them to? We'll move to that in the next thing. Brotherly kindness is the thing. You may have a survival camp. You may be doing a survival camp and you have to go out and, you know, you're dealing with, man, I know we're hungry. I think we missed the heading. Our food for the day was hidden under the, you know, we had to follow the map and compass exactly. And if we didn't do it exactly, we weren't going to find our food for that day. So God, there could be some kindness and some sharing that way, sort of thing, and seeing a survival camp. That's really up to the fathers to set that up, but it's a great opportunity to do that. But this is a period of time with the father working with the son to set life purpose, life direction, discerning from the father, what is the direction you have embedded and planted in the heart of my son, and let's walk together. Cadet Corporal, this would be the highest rank, the 15 to 17. This is on 2 Peter 1:7. The focus is love. Love is a others-oriented. Notice how they're showing love. They're doing disaster relief or something. You know, there was a ice storm in Arkansas, and there's trees that were downed everywhere and crushing houses and things, and so clearing up places. Or this could be a tornado. I don't know what it was, but ministering and serving. A lot of, I mentioned I was going to talk about it, and I kind of got in a hurry on it. The LTC focuses on leadership and on service, okay? Serving others and leading. This is a very heavy emphasis. Love is serving. Love is being others-oriented and helping others. It's also helping those that are struggling with us, maybe some younger brothers or young men. But it's also during this time that we're setting a purpose, setting the direction, goals and direction for life purpose. So focus is on dealing desires and abilities to equip them towards that. That is really love in action. That's love being carried out. And then moving forward, setting goals ahead. So that would be the highest rank that you would achieve. But there is an award that would be higher than that that you can get, and that's the Pinnacle Award. This would be, this is not an easy thing to get. You need to get it before you age out of the program. You need to finish through the Servant Handbook. And the Personal Excellence Award, the Swordsman Award is memorizing a fairly substantial amount of Scripture. The journal is journaling for 1 year, continuous journaling for 1 year. The Good Conduct is finishing six phases of the handbook, moving to five, but in 6 weeks each, so you're making continuous progress. So that would be the Personal Excellence Award, and also the Personal Service. That would be 100 hours of service or unit service, where 60% of the unit serves over 25 hours in disaster recovery or helping a widow or church or a civic municipal leaders and things like that, and in crisis response training, you'll be able to have an opportunity. If you earn all those, then you would have the Pinnacle Award, and that is a fairly substantial award. Then, in addition to the handbooks, there are awards you can work through, whether it's Psalm 119 scripture memory, journaling, the phase scripture memory, the disaster deployment, crisis response, good conduct, which is, remember, the good conduct is finishing your handbooks in 6 weeks, something like that. Participating in Alert Cadet Challenge or even helping in the leadership of it. Now, all those different things you wear on the left chest in a military style panel or And so that provides opportunities to earn awards and work together for those. Now, then the sergeant rank. I mentioned that earlier that the level at which you're at, LTC or cadet first class, cadet specialist, or corporal, translates into these four levels of sergeant as a servant ministry to the program. If you'd like to stay involved and help earlier at a later age. All fathers are officers. As you enter into the program, all fathers become officers. The officer award medal is brass. It's a silver bar with a black square in the middle. All fathers, that's a cadet warrant officer. Okay. You can then move into unit leadership, which would be like a lieutenant or a captain or a major. The highest rank is a lieutenant colonel or a senior command. Their single commanding officer is a lieutenant colonel of the program. He actually lives up in Maine. And then my last slide is just to stimulate some thoughts from questions that tend to be asked, frequently asked questions about the program. You can look at these, think about it, and I'm going to now turn the program over to Major Zachary to talk more about the alert program.
Thank you, Michael. One thing that I would like to make note that I think is significant is that the cadet program, all the fathers that are involved in the cadet programs to be a part have to have a son that is enrolled, and they're between the ages of 8 and 17. So when a father has their last son turn 18, then that father can no longer be a part of the program, regardless of what his rank or position is. And this is with the exception of our office staff back at headquarters. That's a little bit different. But so when Captain Featherston here or Major Smith, when their sons age out, okay, we have that keeps it fresh. That keeps the leadership coming up, and everybody has something at stake involved. Meaning, I have a son in the program, so we don't have these people that are 80 years old that are saying, "Well, you know, I don't have any kids anymore in the young age." It keeps it fresh and keeps the interest going there. So I think that's something really significant and unique about this program. Nothing against 80-year-olds, mind you. The Alert Cadet program was started 2 years after the Alert program, basically as an answer to a call where moms were saying, "My little son wants to wear the same uniform as his big brother. And will you allow me to get a smaller size uniform like Big Brother had?" And, well, we really protect the uniform of the Alert program, which I'm transitioning into now, because there's an earned right to wear that uniform. So in response to that younger brother wanting to be like the older brother, this father-son program was created to be able to answer the questions of how do I win and keep the heart of my son. And so, as you parents know, one day, if it hadn't already, the world's going to come and it's going to tug away at the heart of that son, and dad's got to have a firm grip on it and say, no, you can't have it, it's mine. And so that's what the whole program is about, and that's why we have our motto is assisting fathers to win and keep the hearts of the son. Thank you. You did a great job in explaining everything, Michael. The ALERT program, the Air Land Emergency Resource Team, it is a Christian ministry, and it's designed to help young men to know who they are in Christ, to equip them with the heart and skills to serve, and then to be able to put them in a position when they leave our program, after however long they go through the program, to be able to enter into life with a more solid foundation outside of their parents' home, but still training in a Christ-exalting atmosphere. The ALERT program, our main focus is on disaster response. Now, we'll do emergency response, but disaster relief is our main focus. That's where we put all of our energies and that sort of thing into that. And the ALERT program starts with a 9-week military style of basic training. Now, I say military style. Militaries all over the world do some things right, okay? And that leads to respect for authority, to discipline, attention to detail, these type of things. There are some things that militaries all around the world, including our own, don't do well, and we leave those stuff to that stuff to the military, okay? But we want to build young men. We want to help them to be able to follow after God, know who God is, make Him a personal God, and we do that through this basic training. The basic training is designed to help young men come to the end of themselves, to where they cannot continue without calling upon God for His strength and seeing God visibly work in their life. So the pressure is put on very much so. Another benefit of putting the pressure on a young man is the fact that under pressure, true character is going to be exposed. So a young man can have some awful character inside, or even less than desirable, and until he's put under a pressure situation, he may not know himself he has that, okay? Or anyone else in his life may not know that exists. But when he comes under the pressure situation of basic training, more than likely it's going to come to the top. Then, once it's exposed, it can be dealt with in the scriptural way through the counseling and applying scripture to whatever situation it may be. And then he stands pure vessel before the Lord, ready to serve him with a pure heart. And so that's one of the many blessings of basic training. We usually have anywhere between 40 and 60 people come through a basic training unit, kind of as an average there. And we are on unit 50 right now as we speak. 50 units have come through over the past 20 years of basic training. Actually, February will be our 20th year anniversary. The second phase after basic training of the ALERT program is emergency response training. And in ERT, as we call it, the men learn specific skills that help them to be able to serve in times of need. So one of the ways is high angle rescue. So from a rope system, be able to rescue someone in a situation. Well, you know, when do we have a need for that? Well, you can ask Levi Posey. He was in Unit 38. He was a squad mate of my son. And after he finished ALERT training, and on his 19th birthday, he was in Palladura Canyon here in Texas when a six-year-old boy slid down the face of a cliff. And he was hanging on, and it was going to take 3 hours to get emergency officials out there to rescue him because they were just out in the middle of nowhere. God had Levi there and had Levi equipped with the skills and the knowledge to be able to jump into action and the heart to be able to say, I can help and I want to help. And so Levi took his ropes and with his dad saying, now son, this is a real life situation. Are you sure you know what you're doing? Okay, Levi said, yes, Dad, I do. And he took those ropes and he rappelled down and saved the life of that six-year-old boy on Levi's 19th birthday. See, God does use young men in situations, and he used this program to train this young man to be able to impact a family in a positive way. We impact folks out on disaster locations all the time. When they see these young men that don't look like young men from their community because of the discipline, the respect for authority, the countenance on their faces, moving with a purpose instead of just kind of lackadaisically strolling along, and seeing the output and the work, it raises questions. And they say, where do you find young men like this? I'm like, well, we don't find them anywhere, okay? They're made, okay? They're trained. They're brought up to be young men like this. And that usually brings the question, okay, what do you do this for? What's the purpose? And that opens the door for us to be able to share Christ with the people that we're there serving that has many times lost everything due to a tornado or fire or flood or whatever it may be. So we use the training of the young men to be able to win souls for Christ. Okay, not just to provide hope and relief. Yes, that's all great and good. We do that. But we want to win souls for Christ. We want to impact the kingdom of God in a positive way. During that second phase, after the high angle rescue, other things that we offer is the 40-hour firefighting course. So it's good enough for someone interested in being a volunteer firefighter, to be able to go and apply for their local position. Wildland firefighting. We have underwater search and recovery. There's 2 weeks of underwater search and recovery. You may not have ever scuba dived before. Scuba dived, is that proper English? Anyway, divin, I don't know, whatever. You may not have ever breathed underwater before, but they take you from a beginning novice, and at the end of 2 weeks, you can be a certified special response diver and certified by the National Academy of Police Divers. Okay, so we have a gentleman that's down in Miami that he's part of our staff, loosely or geographically disconnected from us, but he's a part of our staff, has trained every diver ALERT has ever produced. And we get calls out all the time for body recoveries, by sheriff's office for evidence searches, or maybe looking for a safe that somebody has ditched in the water. And so we're here to serve the communities with our resources and with the training that we have. We do land search and rescue. Many times we're called out for missing children and help and recover children that have wandered off. The elderly that kind of wander off and get lost as well. Those that may be suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's, we get called out to help those folks out. Now, those kind of calls are immediate response, and it's limited to our geographical area, but our men in training do get involved in that type of thing. Evangelism, rescue systems, confined space rescue, collapsed structure rescue, Sawyer work. There are so many skills during this 10 weeks time that the men learn to be able to serve. Plus, we top it off with 2 solid weeks of disaster deployment. Now, we don't schedule the disaster, okay? We don't arrange for it to happen, okay? But disasters happen all around, right? And so when there is one and we get called out to it, we'll go out there and give it our all. And that's where the physical fitness from basic training, the heart to serve, all the training that we've laid the foundation in the lives of the young men come to fruition. When they're face-to-face with a homeowner, somebody that's lost everything, lost much, they can help them and be a positive influence in their life there. The third and final phase of this three-phase program, which, by the way, phase 2 and phase 3 are optional. Someone can come to just basic training and never see us again if they want to. But the third and final phase is advanced training, where you can specialize in areas such as paramedics and EMTs. We have a training to where we can give you the training necessary to take the National Registry exam. And by the way, I'll have to brag a little bit, we have a 100% pass rate for the National Registry exam. And that's something to I guess, expound on a little bit. The training is excellent because the men that train are all alert men, former alert men. They've gone through the alert training program, and they're currently working on ambulances and emergency rooms and airlift helicopters. And so they get the experience on one day that they're out working, and then they come into the classroom the next day to train and say, okay, let me tell you about the call I had last night. So they're up on the latest equipment, the latest technologies, everything, because they're currently working in the fields, not somebody who was like, well, 20 years ago when I was doing this type situation. So our guys are in the medical community there have earned the reputation that when they finish their training, the hospitals and ambulance companies around there in East Texas are calling us saying, we want to hire your guys. Do you have any that is available that's wanting to stay here? No matter what state they come from, they're wanting to be hired into that area. And it's not because of just the skills, but the character of the men too. That's what counts. You know, skills that get you hired, but character is what's going to keep you employed. So remember that, young people. The other things that we offer, firefighting academy that's state certified. So you can go through our firefighting academy. And if you're here in Texas, you can walk right to a department and apply. And if they have an opening, they can interview you and hire you. If you're from out of state, then many states will honor our Texas certification. We have a lot of Canadians will come down to Texas, whether it's through ALERT in our program or just other civilian programs, and we'll come back with certifications because Canada will honor these. We have advanced scuba to the professional level, where you can learn to be a dive master and an instructor so that you can leave and maybe open up your dive shop or work for somebody else in that area on a dive boat or whatever, if that's what is interesting to you. We have a leadership module, a flight program, a building program where you could take facets of heating, air conditioning, ventilation, electrical, plumbing, that sort of thing. And maybe make a career out of that if that's what you're interested in. Everything that you learn in ALERT, or what the men learn in ALERT, is beneficial for life. Whether or not somebody's planning on going into the military, it's definitely a first step, I would say, before going into the military. And my son would echo that. He's in the Coast Guard right now. And he went through the ALERT unit in 2007. I was in the Air Force for 9 years, and I know how hard it is to stand your ground. It can be done, okay, but I would certainly recommend going through the ALERT program before going right into any type of military. It will pay dividends in a big way. And then other is going off to college. You have to have that discipline. You have to have just as much resolve going to college as you do going into the military, because it's rough out there, and you have to have that firm foundation. And so, admittedly, we can teach a lot of what we teach, or someone can learn a lot of what we teach anywhere. It's taught all over the country, but not in the Christ-exalting atmosphere that we hold the men accountable for. They have to do daily wisdom search. They call it AM watch, first hour of the day. No matter how busy, no matter what's going on, it's built into their day. They have to memorize Scripture. During basic training, they're going to memorize the entire book of 1 Peter, which is all five chapters. And they'll recite it at the end of basic training, all together standing on the stage. If you ever wondered how long it takes, it's about 17 and a half minutes. and then, so the Scripture and serving Christ is all built into what we do. When they leave, okay, they will know that they've had an experience with God, and they will see a better future for themselves and how they can serve God. So if it's somebody that knows where they're going, if somebody that has no purpose and direction in life, wonderful, wonderful training and the ability to help others. And so we'll entertain questions on that in just a couple of minutes. I wanted to draw your attention to a couple of summertime programs that we offer. We've been talking about men here lately. We're going to transition before we talk about men again and talk about something that we have for young ladies. It's a four-week program called STEP. Skills Training for Emergency Preparedness is what it stands for. It's designed for young ladies 15 and older, and it helps them to develop the confidence in Christ to be able to handle life's little emergencies that come along, the difficult times. So during the 4 weeks that they're there, yes, the Bible study, the scripture memorization, the journaling, all of that, the prayer and devotion is part of it, but we equip them with skills, with life opportunities through team building exercise and relationships that are built, the speakers that come in and talk, and the skills that are taught to be able to have confidence in Christ that, hey, if someone falls over and is having a heart attack, I know first aid CPR. I know how to operate an AED. If there's in the neighborhood a missing child, I can organize a search party. Not just participate in, but organize a search party and be able to quickly teach others how to move in a search line, because they'll know map reading and compass reading. And we've put the girls to the test. We've been actually, because when the girls are on campus is when all our guys are on furlough. Okay, that is by design. And so when the guys are off campus and we get a call from Smith County Sheriff and says, we've got a missing child, okay, can you send your guys? Like, well, our guys are all gone, but we've got some girls that are trained to do that, and they have responded to that call before. Our girls have gone up to Oklahoma City for flood relief, so we have done some of this. They're available as they want to be for future, after the 4 weeks are over, for deployments, such as the Haiti earthquake that happened. We called up a bunch of girls that had gone through the program and said, hey, you ready? You want to go? You want to help serve in Louisiana and load shipping crates to be shipped over to Haiti? They said, sure. And so there's a group of them that went down there and spent a better part of a week helping out in that area. Again, serving others and making a difference in the lives of others. So it's a great opportunity for girls. They come from all over the country and sometimes out of the country to participate in that. A companion program to this is Quest, which is designed for young men 14 and older. And it's really all designed to just help them grow up and man up and understand what manhood's all about, accept manhood, start thinking about accepting responsibility and how to go forth and be a man. See, a young man wants to grow up, okay? Their parents will say all the time, just grow up. Okay? I've said it to my kids. I've had my parents say it to me. And that's all fine and dandy. Okay? Just tell us how to get there from here. Okay? That's the key thing. How do you get there from here? And so that's what our program is designed to help a young man get there from here. It's ingrained they want to be men, they want to take the responsibility, but unless they're being challenged, unless they're being given skills and equipped to do so, they're going to sit on the sidelines. And I think our young men have sat on the sidelines too long, and they're ready to get up and get active for the Lord. So, again, about 60 men or so, young men will descend upon us usually about the second week of July every year. These two programs are offered just once a year in the summer. And again, prayer and devotion, Bible study, scripture memory, it's part of everything we do. So that is the Quest program. Finally, once a year in October, we put on a family camp. In October, that should probably tell you that most of your public school friends and neighbors probably won't be there. Okay, so it's uniquely a homeschool environment. It's not that we exclude, but you know, we were started as a homeschool by a homeschool dad. All of our staff homeschool, or in the case of myself and my wife and others like us, have finished that journey. We are sensitive to the needs of homeschoolers. One of those needs are cost-effective activities. And so our family camp is only $35 per person for the entire week. Now, that does not include your campsite or any meals that you may have, but just to come to family camp, listen to the speakers that will exhort you and that will challenge you. Like this year, We the People. The theme is We the People, and we're focusing on the U.S. Constitution. Okay, we need to learn more about our Constitution. We need to hold our elected officials accountable for what the Constitution says. But we have to know what it says ourselves. So we're going to focus on that. We've got some folks from Wall Builders coming, from the Providence Foundation. We've got a Texas Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals Chief Justice, okay, that is going to be coming and speaking. And it's a great time for all, plus the activities that we have. Many of you out there have been to our family camps before and can attest. It's a great opportunity. One father here in recent years went back home. He related this to me later. He went back home and he said, okay, we've been to family camp for like 2 or 3 years in a row. Next year, do y'all want to go back to family camp again, or do y'all want to go to Disney World? And everybody voted unanimously to come back to family camp again. So that's a great testimony. So anyway, it's the first full week of October every year. If you can't make it this year, write it on your calendar. Plan for it next year. It's a great opportunity to just get away in a nice, comfortable, safe atmosphere and just learn from the Lord. At this time, I'd like to have Michael come up, and David, if you'd like to come up as well as the more local representative, and ask if you have any questions about any of the programs that we've presented here that may be of interest to you, your family, that sort of thing. Oh, the floor is open. Yes, sir.
You mentioned the fathers when the young men are in the program.
Are we talking about the cadet program?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where are the fathers? Do they have to take the time off to be with them, or?
Our meetings, you'll set your meeting up. Let me tell you the way our unit does it. We've set Monday nights as the best night for all of us, but sometimes it's going to be a Tuesday night or a Wednesday or Thursday or whatever best fits their family, that's when they'll gather, that's what you'll do. So yes, we meet at 7 o'clock in the winter months, because the sun sets earlier, we'll usually try to assemble at 6:30. And the fathers do join in with the unit. Yeah.
Understand that day to day, it's a father and son working through this book on a day to day basis. It is entirely possible, many people do it, he alluded to it, that some people are in cadets and they don't even participate in unit activities, either because they want to be more of a family unit and do this themselves, or they might not have anybody else living geographically near them to participate in a unit.
That's my question. Right. Logistically, how does this happen?
It's you.
You don't go to Big Sandy with them.
No. This is in your home. Okay. It's okay. A home discipleship program.
Okay. Okay. Right.
Mm-hmm. If I could add to that, too, that it all depends on the dads who are going to get together in that squad. By the way, there's squads. Kind of, that's the first level squads. There's some dads get together, 3 or 4 dads, maybe up to 6 dads. And then the squads are assigned to a unit that's a little larger area. And I'm the leader for the Austin, San Antonio, Central Texas area. The Big Sandy area, East Texas, is alert command is well known in that area, so there's more units and squads. But Central Texas, we have one squad, one unit right now. We'd love to expand it in the Central Texas area. So there's about six, seven, eight dads right now involved in ours. So we're looking for, you know, adding squads to, you know, geographical areas like San Antonio or wherever. But anyway, just to say that that's meet times defined by the dads who get together in a squad, and if they want to meet once a month or if they want to meet twice a month or what, they set the time they want to meet. But the pace with your father and the son is definitely set by the father. And you can go through the books at your own pace. You know, the basic training manual is the first thing you do. And it's assigned like a four-week plan, but many of us take a lot longer than 4 weeks to complete the basic training. But you can set that pace with your son. Does that answer that question then?
It does, and I have a follow-up. Yeah. Louisiana, I'm in Louisiana, so how do I get started with that in Louisiana?
You do have some units in Louisiana.
Yeah,
I'm not the major over that area, but if you will go to the website, alertcadet.org, it'll help you. And you can also order the basic training manual from there and get started that way.
In our brochure, and I have a brochure on all the programs that we've spoken about, there is a phone number at the bottom of the brochure. You can just call up our office, and the staff will be able to tell you, based upon where you live, where's the closest unit, should there be one there. The great thing about this is that it only takes three fathers to be able to start a unit. So if you know two people that are like-minded and want to join this with you, and maybe they're in your church or your neighborhood or something, it just takes three fathers and you can start up a whole new unit. It doesn't take something that has existed for a long period of time. As long as one father says, I'll head it up and I'll be the David Featherston, okay, then that's all it takes.
I mentioned earlier about having the third delta. The third delta would be maybe just two families. I mean, obviously, as a single family, you could do it. Maybe another family can join together, and you'd still be covered under the third delta. A third family joining with you, then you could actually charter your own. You'd be a New Mexico fourth alpha or whatever it is.
You know, squad.
Yeah.
So, good questions. Thank you.
One more.
Okay.
I'm sorry. The timing. When do you start? When can you start and when do you start as far as a year in a year?
At any time, you can jump in. At any time that he mentioned the basic training manual, you would send off for that. It would come to you in the mail. That's $35. What that'll do is it'll give you a good idea of how your family responds to this program and how this program works for you and your unique family dynamics. And if you decide that you want to go with it, then you can order the other workbooks that goes with it, as well as the uniform items and that sort of thing. So basically, it's kind of a trial time going through that one book, and you can send off for it at any time. Your son has to be at least 8 years old to be enrolled, but they can actually go through the manual as early as like 7 and a half, father-son working through the manual, and then when he turns 8, then they can enroll in the program.
Right. I do recommend starting. If you got a younger son, what about if they're not yet 8? Boy, when Nathan was, his older brother was involved in it, Nathan come and stand up there, and he'd stand at attention, he'd march with him, he loved it. He was 6 years old, 5 years old, you know. But it wasn't until he was 7 that we started working on a basic training manual. This program is really a tool for you. It's not something that you have to fit your family into.
Right.
When do I start? Oh, I've got to have this rigorous. It's not that at all. It is a tool that you as the father and the other fathers around you use as in your hands as a tool to help develop that relationship and grow. So if it fits good, if it fits you, do it. Most units fit the kind of the school schedule of fall, spring. Most squads and units try to have, sometimes they'll take the summer off because people are traveling and so on, so then they'll start back up in the fall and go through to till May. It's up to the fathers.
Yes.
I don't understand how the multi-week training things, like the basic training or like the emergency medicine, these things.
So we're talking about the alert program now? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, you send your kid, he's gone for 6 weeks.
Okay.
Basic.
We start up two times a year. Currently, it's once in January and once in July. And then they'll go through the 9 weeks of basic training. Once they've completed that, if they're going to continue with the program, then they'll go into the emergency response training phase, which is 10 weeks.
Yeah, I'm thinking Army. So, like, they go someplace for 6 weeks?
They come to Big Sandy. Okay. So the Alert Cadet program is in the home. Everything else, training is on our campus in Big Sandy.
And then what is the cost for, say, like emergency medicine?
Okay. That can be found on our website. I don't have that information exactly, but it is on our website what our current prices are for that. But they would have to go through basic training first, then ERT, then they can go into emergency medicine. If they wanted paramedics, they have to do EMT first and then paramedic. That's the prerequisite. Yeah. Yes, sir?
So you're saying to do the phase two, you'd have to go through basic training?
Yes, yes. That basic training is the foundation. Everyone has to go through that first.
And what level of scuba certification do you have in phase two?
In phase two, you will get the open water, the advanced open water, and the special response diver through the National Academy of Police Divers.
By the way, out on our table out there is a fact sheet that has a cost estimate.
I didn't bring it in here.
Okay.
It's not right here, is it?
No, I didn't bring it in here.
Though there is a lot of material that you can come up and get from this table.
Yeah. It's a fact sheet on all the programs we have, by the way. Anything else, anybody?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You mentioned you could start the basic training manual at 7.5. Is there any reason why you couldn't start that younger?
Early as you want.
Yeah,
there isn't a restriction.
It's just a matter of enrolling, getting a uniform. That's it at 8 years old.
Sure. Yeah, it's like you said. There's no real restriction, but you don't want to wait a long period of time. You don't want to start at 5 and then say, okay, well, son, 3 years later, now we can enroll. Right. So there's some common sense involved there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. That is one of the alert program advanced phase options to where we have a buildings trade program. So if they want to go through that, they'll learn things such as structural constructing, putting up the walls of a building, that sort of thing. But heating, air conditioning, and ventilation is one of the things that they'll go through and learn about. They're not going to get a certification in that to where they can go directly to work, but they'll get enough information to know if they want to continue to pursue that. That's one of the areas where they're not going to get a certification in, but they'll have enough information to know if they want to pursue that, or electricity or plumbing or that sort of thing. So, okay. Well, I want to thank every one of you for your time and coming and attending the session. I hope it was informative. We will be around for a little while longer if you want to stop us and ask questions. I want to be respectful of your time and the time of the conference here and going ahead and dismissing properly. So once again, thank you very much, and we hope that we